shall we pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege you've given us in this hour to keep our church doors open, our people allowed to come together even from a distance. Freedom, Lord, to come and worship your holy name, and we believe in spirit and in truth because we stand with the revered word, which, Lord, you have come yourself here to approve that this is the exact and perfect revelation of what you had in your mind. And we also, being in your mind and being part of you, now have that which you have for us, absolutely suited and perfect for this hour, to bring about a resurrection and immortality in a bride, and a great rapture, great wedding supper, the opening of the seventh seal, where all things now going into eternity, because it already has blended. These things, Lord, we know to be true, even though they come against the grain of our own thinking of what is going on in the world. It looks as though it is not possible, but Lord, we look beyond it to the fact that this is the truth, this is vindicated, and therefore now we stand, having turned our corner, made our decision, and our lives are in your hands, irrevocably, and there is no turning about. We thank you for that, Lord, because it does bring us to a place of decision, the most important man could ever make, which is in this hour, which is eternal, and not only eternal, as they had it previously, but now eternity itself facing all of us. We thank you for that, Lord. May we continue in your grace, the study of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're going to continue from last night on Brother Branham's message on identification. And I'm going to be very frank with you. We'll be taking a great deal of scripture. So most of our time we'll be taking up reading scripture as we note how that Brother Branham brings to our attention these fallen sons of God with the very life of God, which had produced the very character of Almighty God, and those things which God wanted to be brought forth in man. Man fell into sin. Now we have to have redemption, which we do have, and the great, not only possibilities, but the great assurances, not just assurance, but assurances within the main assurance, all assurances of every promise, and the great assurance that all of these will be fulfilled. So I just want to read a little preface here, and then we'll go on to reading where we left off last night. In this message called Identification, Brother Branham begins by informing us that each one of us can find ourselves identified in the Bible by some character in scriptural narration. However, this type of identification is merely an identification used in psychoanalysis, where we relate to someone in a mental process, usually subconsciously, and it's not real. Now, that is true. Brother Branham said we could identify with characters, we could actually see ourselves. Now, when you identify with a character in the mental, and many times we see this used in this term in psychoanalysis, where people will identify with somebody. It's really subconscious, and yet it's not really subconsciously. It is actually also consciously. Now, for instance, there was a senator or a congressman, I forget which he was, from New York, who was very dissolute person. And he was very flamboyant, and he was also, I understand, some type of minister, which is not very hard to understand. A lot of people are ordained now. I don't know what they're all ordained to. But this fellow was really a profligate individual. And he never attended to business, although he was always there for a handout for the people, but especially for himself, several times married. And he'd be wandering off to the Caymans and different places having a great time. And he was actually voted in every single time for his tenure until he died. And the question is, why would the people, knowing he was so dissolute a character, vote him in? And the answer was, they identified with him. They saw in him everything they'd like to be. Freeloader, lots of money, good time, have it all. Press the button. And, you know, not just a bombshell come out, but luxurious living. Now, you see, that identification is not scriptural. The identification Brother Branham wanted to get across was, what you see your own identity in scripture, you will begin to see that which was, well, let me give you an idea on the word identity here. Identification is something by which a person or thing can be identified. So they say, okay, identify yourself. You're going to try to get back into the compound at night, and the watchman says, identify yourself, give the password. Well, there's a certain password you're supposed to have, but that although the password is all right, what if there is a person with a strong ESP could pick it up and get by? A password in the time of war is something that is not really vital. There has to be actual identification. And that's why when you're taken in war as a spy, you destroy your identification or simply give a number and say, that's it, that's all you're going to get out of me. Identification, then, is what the thing really is or what the person really is. It's been identified, it's cataloged, it's categorized, and now you come then to what is substantial reality. As much as you can get reality in this world. But when you deal with God in identification, you're going beyond that. You're finding out really, not just nitty-gritty, but you're finding out eternal verities, eternal positions, not assumptions, but a reality. So Brother Branham now then takes us beyond simply a human identification, where you can, the term would be better relate. I can relate. And you sort of, in your relating, you can either justify yourself, pacify yourself, or you can also condemn yourself and get yourself into more turmoil. So we're looking at something here from Brother Branham's viewpoint, which is very, very, very scriptural, very strong and very solid, with no variableness or shadow of turning. The key to our study of identification is in the scripture reading pertaining, that the scripture reading was in Philippians, the scripture reading pertaining to the mind of Christ and his desire, his decisive walk, because his walk was decisive. And actually, the decision was to let God have his way. Like Brother Branham said, I always please God. Always let him have his way. So the decision here in the life of Christ was to let God have his way. The decision of Eve was to get out of God's way and have her own way, which she thought was going to be better because Satan deceived her. And then Adam, the fall guy, went along with it. He had to, because she was a part of him. There was no way he could get around it. This being the plan of God, of course, because God wanted to have his glory manifested through his various attributes. And this was one way, the only way it could be accomplished. And anybody to suggest that God could have done it another way is strictly insane. Strictly insane, and his thoughts are truly inspired of the devil. Now, get what I'm saying, because that is true. Predestination is the bugaboo of Scripture. And anybody who thinks it's not is deceived. And even those who do understand to agree predestination don't understand it. This is the first time in 2,000 years since the time of Paul that predestination has come to light in this reality from the very mind of God himself. Paul himself mentioned predestination was a great cause for rejoicing. People think it's a great cause to be fearful, to be hateful, to misunderstand and be misunderstood. It's the tough one. I've seen people turn right away from God on the grounds of predestination. Turn right from this message on the grounds of predestination. They cannot see sovereignty. So, all right, you have to keep this in mind as we're going to go forward in our scripture. So the key to our study of what Brother Branham talked about identifying ourselves in the Bible, even sometimes with characters of past history, and remember, Paul allowed that. Paul blocked out the Old Testament, except for the prophecies which should come down the road. But as pertaining to Christianity, he said, this is now nothing but examples. It's finished. It's simply examples. You don't go by it. You see what is there. You understand what is there. It's an example to you. Don't you follow them where they made their faults, their wrong decisions. You listen now. Keep your decisions with God. See? Now, that even went to the place of the New Testament church of marriage. Now, when God said, Israel, you're going to the promised land, I want you to know one thing. When you get there, you slay utterly every woman, man, and child. I want no seed left there at all. When you go there, don't intermarrying. You're not even supposed to have multiplied marriages. Don't marry too many wives. No, ho, ho, David had 500, Solomon 1,000. Oh, we love God and obey Him, don't we? Here's God's children going in where God could have bred them back to a true human race. Oh, no, no, they made a covenant right away. They blew it. They didn't inquire of God in their covenants. So, what you're looking at here then, in the Old Testament and the whole history, you look back there and see the fallacy. Look at the fallacy again. The Bible distinctly says, when it comes to rape, the person must be killed. You kill him. So David had a daughter, and he had a son. And the son, by him, raped the daughter. What did David do? Did he bring them out and stone him? Oh, no, no, boys will be boys. And David turns around, in spite of the fact of his numerous wives, he lusted after another man's wife. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. See, those are examples. And if you follow those examples, say, hey, I'm not an idiot. I can read. I can see. I can understand. I have the Holy Spirit to help me. That is not for me. No matter how nice it looks, no matter how beautiful it looks, remember, beauty is of the devil. When it comes to Jesus, there was no beauty we should desire of Him. He wasn't a pretty boy. My brother Brown said the boy had the pretty feet. Oh, brother. I give up. Let's go home. The race is doomed and condemned. No, it's all gone, see? Okay. The key to our study of identification is in the scripture reading pertaining to the mind of Christ and His decisive walk based on His identity as to who He really was. He knew who He was. He knew the glory. He understood. And He was true to it. And that is our key. Who we are really, essentially. That's what Brother Branham is hitting at. Your true identity. Really, what is it? Now, you go like to Canada. It's not so bad here in the States. But in Canada, you couldn't be a Canadian citizen until years after I walked out. That's one reason I left Canada. I despised it thoroughly. You could be British. You could be Romanian. You could be Hungarian. You could be a Polak. You could be a Hun. You could be any, but you couldn't be a Canadian. And yet, Elmore Philpott, the son of a very outstanding minister, and Philpott is an English name, right? P-H-I-L and P-O-T-T or whatever it is. He said, I will call myself a British subject or an Englishman when King George calls himself a German. And he refused to sign that he was anything but a Canadian. See, he knew what he was, a Canadian. The rest didn't have the guts to do it or didn't understand to do it. Now Trudeau came along. Let's remember, let's not get into politics. I'm just telling you what it's all about, see. Who are you really? In America, if they asked you what your ancestry was, you just get off your chair and poke them and be justified in a court action. You don't think so? Let's try it out sometime. American citizens, they don't ask you what your roots are. Well, say, look, I'm a fourth generation, third generation American. I don't care two bits of my ancestors, Greek, Roman, God knows what, Irish, Scotch, who cares? I'm an American. Now that's what we're talking about. What is your identity? And this goes back to God and predestination. And no wonder people hate it. Because choice is left out to the individual and God's choice is irrevocable. Because now you're in the light stream of God or the creative process of God. So if you're not in the life stream of God, you're in the creative process of God. And if you're in the creative process of God, you're not a child of God. That's what I said? You better, because that's the truth. That's where birth and creation got all mixed up. And it flattened the whole thing like a dish of Krupp stew. Where are we actually coming from? With this in mind, which is, What is our true identity? Who are we? What is our species? Who are our forebears? Who do we go back to? See? What is in that particular species that acts as a molder and shaper of ourselves, which simply stated is, what is our destiny based upon a predisposition which is inherited and goes back to some beginning? A good one, isn't it? Want me to read it again? I like that myself. I'll read it again. Just to hear myself talk. No. To get it across, what I'm talking about, what Brother Branham is talking about, and I'm bringing in my language, in my way to you people. So what is it? What are we going here? And that is our key. Who we really are essentially. Essentially. That gets down to the nitty-gritty, the one atom. The one atom that explodes and explodes and explodes by multiplication in the cells until it's all over. Where did that cell start? Where are we actually coming from? With this in mind, which is, what is our true identity? Who are we really? What is our species anyway? What is in that particular species that acts as a molder and shaper of ourselves, or me as a person, which simply stated is this, what is our destiny? What is my destiny? Based upon a predisposition. Based upon a predisposition. If it's in there and you didn't have a thing to do with your birth, then it's predisposed. Where do you get your blue eyes from? Your brown eyes, your green eyes. My wife has blue eyes. I have brown eyes. One boy has brown eyes, one boy has blue eyes, and one girl has hazel eyes. The mixture. Renee has one hazel eye and one brown eye. Blue eye. And so she got, that's her genes. What predisposed her to get that? What predisposed you to have the nose you got? I've been trying, they told me when I was a kid, they said, Lee, you'll catch up to your nose when you get older. I haven't caught up to my nose yet. I don't even worry about it. What's to catch up and who cares when you get there? Predisposition, in other words, is predestination. What is there? See? What is our destiny based upon a predisposition which is inherited and goes back to some beginning of some sort? Now, if anybody wanted to study history and get into the Word of God just by virtue of history, they would know that Mallet and Wilkinson wrote concerning way back in the antiquities, far before the flood, that there were two races of people. One was called the sons of light, and the others were simply the sons of men and sons of darkness. And the sons of God, the sons of light, which were true human beings, were peaceful, loving, kind, agrarian, shepherds, under their own vine, building their own houses, eating from their own fig trees, minding their own business, social, beautiful people. The others were warlike, demonic, oppressive, and did everything they could to destroy. And that goes back to Genesis, Cain and Abel. Why? What happened? How can there be two races predisposed to be what they are? What's the beginning? Where did it come from? Now, if it all came from one source, what went wrong? Did it come from two sources? See, we're getting to, that's what we're looking at in this message here, or I don't know what Brother Brown is preaching. I think I do. Now, what lay in two microscopic cells that when united brought forth exactly what we are? That's a male and female cells. Since there is such a disparity evidenced in us, are there multiple sources, and therefore different characteristics and qualities, and visions of life, and for life, and toward life? Visions of life, for life, and toward life. It's all there. Those three words are not those three phrases are not exactly one and the same. It's not a matter of alliteration at all or saying the same thing. What lies within us gives us a vision of life, begins to talk about it, wonder about it. It gives us impetus for life and toward life. Put it all together, you have a living individual. And that goes even to animals. And also even goes down to the fact of those things which cannot think, and they cannot philosophize, they cannot understand, but they simply produce. And as the roots of a tree goes toward water, and you've had that many times when you're foolish enough to plant a tree by the old-fashioned sewage line that just was connected together without lead, or a nice solid pipe like we got PC today. And what happened? The tree roots would go right to the sewer line, and pretty soon your sewer is all clogged up. Yeah, who hasn't had it happen? I won't say who has had. I say who hasn't. I've had it. You forget it. Weeping willow is one of the worst of the worst. All right. Brother Branham takes us straight to the Bible. He speaks of the children of God who actually, though made in the image of God and indwelt with his own life, became fallen children of God, and now present a character different from what a God species should manifest. Now, I'm saying they're presenting. I didn't say one thing about the character itself. I said presenting. Because the point is this, if I take a seed of a nice plant, and I plant it in soil that is not fertile, and I plant it in a soil that doesn't have enough water, and I put it in a place where it's not sunshine, I'm going to get a plant which is 100% that plant. But my God, what shape is it in? You follow me? Huh? Can you apply what I'm saying now to humanity? Fallen nature, not the nature itself so much fallen, but the character, the very nature of God in the vessel itself, that it's in such rotten condition that it can't produce the flower. And that is true because of Peter, Brother Peter, the apostle says, being born again, not a corruptible spora, which is a seed, as of a flower or a plant, but the incorruptible spora. In other words, now, we have to have a rebirth, a regeneration of some description of this body which came forth under the wrong circumstances to get the body which must come forth under the right circumstances, because the seed is the seed. Huh? Oh, my, I hope I'm not a Philadelphia lawyer, because this is just plain, true, simple truth I'm telling you. Now, I'll read again. And indwelt with his own life, we have become fallen children, and now present a character or a manifestation that is not consistent with what is truly in us. In other words, an arrested development, arrested growth. A character different from what a God species should manifest. That is because these children came in flesh in order to be tested. Adam and Eve fell, and all the seed fell with them. And it wasn't just that, it was the horrible mixing of the bodies. And the hybridization of life. So any soul that a person has outside of a true seed of Adam, down through Abraham, back to God, does not have a true, inner, legitimate soul from God. He's got a soul because our soul is life, the life of God. Because when God breathed in Adam breath of life, that was the Holy Ghost, he became a living soul. Not before then. Just what Brother Branham said. In Adam's case, the spirit was already there. Not just an actual created spirit, but the spirit, which means an aura. Or a nature. Separating the female from the male. But it was still that one life. See? And that life in her blood motivating her body could produce an ovum which could be fertilized by the serpent. Now they're bringing forth a body that is absolutely hybrid. But since the life is animal life, you can't place that with the inner soul, which is the life of God. No way, shape, and form. Let's face it, there are two groups of people. There are two species. And yet of one lump. Altogether, Brother Branham said so truly, a virgin birth is nothing compared to bringing forth a child of God in the human race. When you consider the trillion of sperm from one donor, and the literally millions of eggs, or 250,000 eggs are present in the woman from the woman's ovaries, but the cilia there, little hair-like things, could amount to millions. Now, what kind of a computer mind has God got to trace each one down? When the male ejaculate, understand, can go literally from one male out to almost outer space, laid end in. Those are the figures I read. They sound kind of goofy, but nevertheless, a very intelligent person with authority wrote them. But so much for that. You can understand by the multiplicity anyway. Now, in order to redeem them, God had to send someone also in flesh, but who never lost his God character to sin to redeem them. That would mean that God would have to bring forth another man apart from the total human race. There's where your virgin birth comes in. Now we read the last paragraph we viewed last night. And as we continue to read and amplify, I trust we can recall most of what we spoke of on last night, the notes, which had to do with the two seeds as pertaining to the sovereign God, foreknowing and foreplanning, creating and birthing and predestinating, according to his own will, wisdom, power, and innate being of love. Now, I've covered now all what I covered last night, and then some. So, okay, we're going to read again. So, it took something that was not evil that could produce a character like Jesus Christ. We're talking about redemption now. We're talking about seed. See? And it was God looking upon his creation and his own loving character, seeing that lost, yet in his image, made for his glory, and saw that lost. In other words, God was stalemated, and man was stalemated. Now, how are we going to get him out of the nest? Well, the point is, God, sovereign, allowed this mess. And Brother Branham said, if God, since God made a commandment, God's got to make a way to fulfill the commandment. And that was according to Matthew 5:48. Be ye holy, even as your Father which is in heaven is holy. There is no man possible can be that way, because in the plan of Almighty God, God knew that man would be put in the flesh and tested, and that man would fall in order for God to manifest his own characters and qualities in redemption. So then God's got to make a way for it. There you see predestination based upon sovereignty, and who wants it? Nobody but us. Nobody. Billy Graham will go around kissing the Pope's door and putting Elvis in heaven, but tell him this, oh, horse, that'd be a horrible God. I'd find a horrible God who allowed a man to kiss the Pope's toe and put Elvis in heaven after a prophet said he'd be condemned. He said he'll find out being all shook up. And sold Jesus down the trail for 30 Cadillacs. Am I going to listen to some preacher out there with 76,000 in his audience when I know a prophet of God will draw the tiniest handful, and I'm one of them? You're one of them. We don't have a big church here. Churches around the country getting 1,100, hundreds of them, hundreds here and there. And one guy said he went to the Orient and preached to 10,000 Branhamites. Well, I'm sure they're Branhamites. In just the same way that Moody walked down the street one day and said, oh, Mr. Moody, said, He said, I'm a convert of yours. He said, you sure must be, because you couldn't be one of Christ and act that way. Plenty of converts. And so it took something that was not evil. That was not evil. All right. Let's look at what was not evil. First of all, we go to Psalm 10. Here we're going to start reading now. We're never going to get anywhere except the Scripture. Praise God. I love the Scripture. The Scripture to me is the answer. My mouth is full of it. My mind is full of it. When I'm up here. See, I got out of that one. All right. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Let's watch for a little later what he says. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. This is the sin of the coveting another man's wife, committing adultery and killing the husband, then taking her for his wife. That's great, eh? Well, maybe Clinton read all this. Against thee only and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. In other words, David is saying, look, I'm going to tell one thing. Sure, I sinned against the woman. I sinned against the man. I sinned against the child. I sinned against everybody. But the fact of the matter is that the great sin was against you, O God, because I never took your word to heart. I lusted after another man's wife. I committed adultery, literally rape, because the king gets his way. I got her pregnant. I killed her husband. It's against you, O God, because I knew better. Now, let's get this back. The law is holy and perfect. And that word must be answered back from you and me to God. No matter what we do, we will answer to God. Now, Brother Branham said a woman committed adultery. She got to go to her husband and get his apology and forgiveness because she didn't sin against God. She sinned against him. That is halfway true, as I understand the word of God. She has to do it to clear her record because she did sin against him. We also are to make restitution. But remember, this God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And the vow she made was to be loyal to her husband. And that's where she had to go and apologize, because she broke her vow to him. But she broke the holy word of God and said, you must not commit adultery. And homosexuals would be killed in Israel. Adulterers would be put to death. Harlots would have been burned. You show me where God took his word back. Man took that word back. Now, watch the day of judgment coming, and they'll all burn. You don't fool with God, brother, sister. Don't try to fool with his word and change it. Just acknowledge you're wrong. That's all. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and clear when thou judgest. In other words, he's saying, God, you're in the clear. I'm wrong. Go ahead and judge. Behold, now listen. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Notice that. In sin and in evil. It's the body that caused the trouble. It was the flesh part that caused the trouble. That's the devil right there in us. When I mean that by that, the great temptation. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom, but not the body. This man learned a tremendous lesson in his soul, which he already knew, but he hadn't learned it. And it hit a tower of Pisa falling on him. When he realized, oh God, I let myself covet another woman that belonged to another man. And then being king, I violated my high position authority. I wanted her when I didn't need her. I violated her. I'm worthy of death. Then I killed her husband. I shed blood. And your word said back in Genesis, whosoever shed a blood by man shall his blood be shed. God, I'm here. I'm guilty. Now, he wouldn't have been guilty except for God. So we put God in the clear. Oh, we don't want to put God in the clear. Well, that's the thing is this. If God has made us all and is predestinated, then why doesn't he get find fault? That's what Cain said. I don't need salvation. I don't need anything. I'm perfectly fine. They're like the prostitute gets through with her job and made the money. She thinks no more what she did than eating a piece of bread and wiping the crumbs away. That's people. They get so high they don't have a conscience anymore. Okay. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, I be whiter than snow. The Bible said, though thou take much nitre and wash thee with soap, your sins remain. Can the leper change his spots if you open his skin? Neither can you, no matter what you do, change. Because that's the way you are. It's going to take something different from you to give you that change where God can step in and intervene and bring you back to where you were in the beginning, which is around the only begotten Son on the throne, worshiping God in divine favor. That where before they call, he answers, which is a pure case, cut and dried, of predestination. Is it or is it not? Well, certainly. Doesn't do you any good to call, because it's already there. Huh? Is that predestination? Well, Brother Branham said it was. We took the whole series on the last four or five sermons he preached and brought that up perfectly for you. Make me to hear, no, Persian hyssop. I should be clean. Wash me, and I'm whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. You know something? When your bones are broken, that's your skeletal structure. You fall down. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out my iniquities, all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now this is a man after God's own heart, the predestinated king, chosen and anointed by God. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That's going to happen right today. I got scripture that. Won't worry about it. I've given to you before. I forget just where it is exactly, but I'll remember later on. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto me. A man cannot have one message of conversion to another person unless he himself is truly converted. And this was David's great conversion right there. My God, what that man had to go through because of his own lust, determination, his abilities that lay in his flesh, because he was greatly empowered by God and then he used it wrong. Like, remember Bezalel was given a gift of the Holy Ghost to be an artificer in silver and brass and made beautiful things for the tabernacle in the wilderness. What if he'd have turned around and made an image to a false god? The talent would have been there, given by God, but used in a wrong way. And that's exactly the way marriage is and reproduction is. And that's why the world is in the shape it's in, because they don't honor it as spiritual and as righteous. You can't teach and go beyond what you know positively. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. This man's got to the place now where he doesn't even dare open his mouth. This man hardly dares open his eyes. This man is a perfect picture of Jesus after what he's gone through. Oh God, I'm here. Don't let me be by myself and have my own way under any consideration. God, help me and work through me, even my little life down below here, what I need to have taken care of. He never got that prayer really answered because David did a lot of stupid things after that too. But the thing is, you'll notice that little seed within him was crying out to have a vessel that would show forth what was in the seed, which is the loving character of Almighty God, His Spirit, in you and me as a seed form. Now, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou desirest not burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Sure, broken, so God can pour something into it. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Now he's branching out. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness. Abel's and contrary to Cain's. What is the sacrifice that God wants? It's not the burnt offerings, it's a contrite heart. Not the sacrifice of giving unto God as though you're giving something, but doing something for mankind. Reaching out to your brothers and your sisters. Not turning your heart away. Happy to forgive if they receive forgiveness. That's a different thing entirely. You know, there's literally strings to everything, and those strings are what the Word of God is strung together with. You operate, the Word of God is in the framework of the Word. You couldn't just bring a beast any old way to God and present it. It had to be a certain beast under certain circumstances presented in a certain way. Don't fool with God. And you fool with God by taking the Word outside of its context, its literal meaning, its time, its hour, and the administration. And you need a prophet to really do that which you have today. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. And what does that? Present your body a living sacrifice, consumed by the fire of God under the ministry of the Spirit. Then they shall offer a bullock upon thine altar. In other words, at that time, you will walk in a way that is free. And what you do, you know you're doing before God. In other words, you have your senses exercised unto righteousness. You become more and more molded. Let me read you now this fallen state that you're conceived in and shaped in. And here's where I said we're just going to read scripture after scripture after scripture. Romans the 7th chapter. Know ye not, brethren, that I speak, and I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if we, while her husband liveth, shall be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no longer an adulteress, though she be married to another man. In other words, the second marriage is fine and good. And Brother Branham likened that to the second birth, the rebirth of the church. And when Brother Branham came on the scene like the Apostle Paul, everything was dead. Unfortunately, it wasn't buried, so it stinks. And he likened that to the law of organization. All organization and all scripture died, having been fulfilled, or Brother Branham came on the scene. So the promise of God for restoration of his word, the total word being restored, brings us back to Ephesus and into the rapture. Because as soon as God appeared in verse 15, 16 and 17, the mighty power of God began working in the individuals here which would be raptured, making them perfect in the Word, bringing forth the dead, and setting us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus at the great wedding supper and the reincarnation. So, Brother Branham taught us that. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even him as raised from the dead, that you should bring forth a fruit unto God. Now that goes back to the place where the Bible distinctly says that the bruised reed, it's concerning the Gentiles, the bruised reed he won't break, the smoking flax he will not quench. But believe me, the bruised reed of Israel broken, the smoking flax was quenched. Because under no consideration can there be temple worship again, which is legitimate until the millennium when Jew and Gentile and all of the bride from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, closing verse, are here on earth, and there'll be a temple worship with Christ. And once more, the worship of Almighty God in the pillar of fire, even as we see in the New Jerusalem down the road. Now, for when ye were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work even in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Now notice flesh. He's talking about a flesh condition, and that's the body. You cannot get rid of the word flesh and say, well, that's carnal, that's a little mysterious thing, that's a little spiritual thing, hogwash. It was being put in the body where sin entered and the body fell. So don't try to just say this is a little spiritual thing. I grant you it is spiritual, but let's face it. You cannot have any spirit applying itself anywhere into manifestation, doing anything, good or evil, unless it's got something to work through. Right? Well, the prophet said so. I'm just elaborating on it. When we're in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we're delivered from the law. See, this is a born-again person he's talking about. Being born again, not a corruptible spora or sperma, whatever you want to call it, but the incorruptible. And that applies to the body. Because that's what's sealed in by the Holy Ghost to the day of redemption. As Brother Branham said, you'll come a time when you realize you always were saved. How in the world can a spark of God in you and me need salvation? How can it need redemption when it couldn't sin in the first place? See, you've got to realize God is no shadow of turning, and in him there's no violation at all. Word perfect, perfect God. That's wonderful. And if he's given that to us, and we have become the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, that's impartation, imputation, not just imputing, but imparting. There's a place where imputation stands. It's credited you as though you did it, and impartation is where you really get it. Now we're to identity. And in identity, you have to understand what is imputed and what is imparted. And this is imparted. It's imparted to the part, the seed of God, now brought back and going to have a glorified body. But now we're delivered from law, with that being dead when we were held, that we should serve the newness of spirit and not old as a letter. What should we say then? Is the law sin? Curses not sin. God forbid me, I had not known sin but for the law. It's just a schoolmaster to smarten us up, to lighten us up. That's all. That's how you learn the stove's hot. You put your hand on it, lightens you up. He says, right, I have not known sin but by the law. The law says you put your hand too hot a stove, your skin burns, right? For I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. Now, so David knew the law, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. But the law was holy. That law, thou shalt not covet, didn't make him sin. It showed him he was in sin. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. And when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. And what is sin? Unbelief. Unbelief, simply did not believe. People didn't believe you because you filled your mind with all this garbage. Something going to happen to you? Oh, come on. There's a spirit with that stuff. Why has TV become a spirit? Because it's used wrong. Why has the internet become a spirit? It's used wrong. Everything becomes a spirit. In other words, it becomes a dealing factorial force in your being, you personally, and society. Fill your mind with all that junk, you're going to do it. I'm not saying that we don't get tempted. I'm not saying that there's a temptation out there. But I'm telling you at the same time, there's a temptation yielding goes to evil. What is legitimate is not a temptation. And the legitimate is only illegitimate when used the wrong way or out of order. Then he was that then which was good made sin unto me. God forbid. But sin that it might appear sin working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. So it tells you right there, every time you bump against the word of God, that says, just a minute, now that's the wrong thing. Just a minute, don't go too far. Just a minute, watch this. It's not killing you. What it's doing is trying to preserve you from paying a consequence. And the consequence of whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, period. Everybody's got the idea, oh, God, forgive me. That does it. That doesn't do it. You're simply forgiven. See, oh, God, I made a boo-boo. I made a boo-boo. In the battery that takes acid, I poured, what did I pour? I poured a base of some sort. Yeah, soda. Oh, God, now the acid's not going to work in the battery, ruin the battery. Well, pray about it. All you say, oh, God, forgive me for being so stupid. And help me to look next time and listen and not do such a foolish thing. But believe me, God is not going to turn that base into an acid. Why? Because he said in order a base is a base, a base is a base, a base is a base, an acid is an acid. Is that right? There's a chemist right here. And a good top-notch chemist. He didn't get Eli Lilly and be one of the top dogs for just sitting there and thinking, oh, well, a base could be an acid, an acid could be a base, and a horse could be a cow. Yet science is that stupid because they think the horse and the cow came from a common source. Some amoeba or something. Out of the slime. The primordial slime. Slimy individuals. We need a Hitler on that one. Well, God will be a Hitler in the day to come. And he'll by his own science exterminate these pseudoscientists that have destroyed the little kids in our school and everything else. All right, let's keep reading anyway. All right. Now he says here, I'm carnal sold under sin. For what which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. For what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. In other words, he knows within him there's a spark in there that said, look, that's wrong. And I got the word of God for it. Then it is no more I that do it, but sin dwells in me. Sin. A virulent, living unbelief. Now that cannot be in your spirit, your soul that came from God. It's impossible. What does it come from? It comes from reasoning that lies in the flesh via the brain and the mind and the spirit that God allowed, but was not given to you of God, as though it were by God. As though we're a part of God. Your soul is a part, the other is not. So whether your spirit is a fallen angel or a good angel, that's something different, I don't know. That you know that more than I. For I know that in me, that's my flesh. I know that's in me, that's my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Now you start getting all torn up at puberty. Some start a little quicker because their families, their parents are a bunch of dull brains and dull heads. But here's where the big thing, worst thing comes in. And that's why you positively have in Scripture, idolatry is made as adultery. And spiritual union with Christ is a marriage. Brother Branham took us all through that. For the good which I would do, for the good that I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, he's got a great conflict, and it's in the flesh. And I can prove it to you. The minute that you die, how much does your flesh bother you? Nothing. How much does your flesh pamper you? Nothing. Stone, cold, dead, then stink. Your body's hardly cold before you're stinking because you defecate. Your organs collapse. Messy. So I'll get the picture. I then find then a law which, when I would do good, evil is present with me, unbelief. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. In other words, as Eve did not believe the superlative, unbelievable, according to the human mind, which we have now, the goodness of God when he told her what was what. She opened up her body
And right there, the body opening up took a spirit in there, spirit of unbelief. Channeled right in. How often did Brother Branham pray for the deaf, the dumb, and the blind? Maybe a whole busload full. Everyone hearing, everyone speaking, everyone seeing. Go down the road. Mouths are closed. Ears are deaf. Spirit came back in, unbelief. I've dealt with that in my own ministry. I've had it happen to me. I've had some things I wish Brother Branham would hear to explain to me, but he died before it happened. I can't understand it. Before God, I have had things happen I cannot understand. But I know one thing. It opened up to unbelief. That's what she did. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, and with the flesh I serve the law of sin. In other words, you're going to have a conflict, 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 conflict. Now, what is the way to get rid of this horrible conflict? Can something be done about it? Can I get the victory? Where do I go? Now, he says, therefore, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, reborn, baptized with the Holy Ghost. Those are they who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, they've got a fortification. Now, they've got something that can dominate what they had when they were simply without the rebirth, desiring, crying to walk with God, crying, wanting. And you know, forget it. Doesn't work. How now? Now, for the law of the Spirit of life. Now watch. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Absolute obedience to God. Obedience to God is His Word. That was the life in Christ. That law, which law we forsook, being brought in flesh to be tempted and tested and fallen. And remember, we're not judged for Adam's sin, we're judged for our own. We did not sin according to the similitude of Adam and Eve, we fell on our own. And we're still on our own. You can't blame Adam. Can't blame the devil. You got to blame yourself. Why? Because you take pleasure in doing what you're doing, and if you take pleasure in doing it, you like it and you do it, therefore it's you, flesh. And you're involving the seed within you that came from God. What a horrible thing. We blame Eve and the serpent. What about ourselves? Why not get off the blame train and get where it belongs? Now, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That which was in Christ is mine. I will not leave you orphans. I will come. My Father will come. In other words, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, called alongside to help you, will help you and enable you. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness, only the likeness, the form, eyes, ears, nose, throat, legs, arms, toes, and sinful flesh. And for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the Spirit, but after the law, but after the Spirit, the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, he's telling you right there, there's an escape. And the escape hatch is from what comes down, whereby that which comes down will bear us upward. Because the new man is from above. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And that's true. You begin probing the Word of God. The Word of God comes to your mind. The Spirit conducts it to the soul. The soul brings it forth to the body. Now we're walking the light. United in harmony with God, body, soul, and spirit truly sanctified. One with Him, He with us, and He with the Father, making us that grand unity. I'll explain that later on, how the mechanics come. Now, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Throw out the Word of God like He did, you should go plumb down the drain carnal. Believe the Word of God, take it in, abide by it, water it, feed the inner man, life goes up. Spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is the enemy of God. Now, where does the carnal mind get its problem? It gets it from the flesh. Where the brain through the eye gate, the ear gate, remember your eye does not see, it's merely a peephole. The ear does not hear, it is merely a little hearing aid. It all goes to the mind. It registers. It fills little wrinkles in there. And because the mind is related to the spirit, the brain, that's the part. All senses. At the same time, the Word of God is there, taken in. Now, if you thrust out the things of the world and so-called science and the reasoning thing and say, that's what God said, put it down to your soul, repeat it out of your mouth, you're getting somewhere. You're now where you ought to be. And the only way you can get there is doing what we're talking about. The carnal mind is your enemy. And it's in the brain. So therefore, it's a physical thing as well as a spiritual. For the carnal mind is the enemy of God. Cannot be subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. In other words, there is no way where the Spirit of God will come in and blank you out. Oh, God, just blank me out. Oh, God, blank me out. Please, please, God, I can't take a shaft and sit down. I'm not going to blank you out. You're going to face me and face this condition right now. Why do people go nuts and crawl into a bed, pull the head, hold of the head? I can't face it. Most people sleep because they want to face light. Oh boy, I must want to face light. No, I try my best to sleep and get away, and I can't do it. My thoughts right back to where they were. That doesn't make me a nice person, don't worry. So then that they are in the flesh cannot please God. But notice now, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwelling. Now, Brother Branham categorically said, when you and I bypassed our spirit or word body and came down here to be tested, God gave us the Holy Ghost, making us now, the baptism, making it fully commensurate to that body that you could have had, which you wouldn't have sinned in. Now where are we walking? Now what are we doing? You know what's wrong? We don't believe it. Well, that can't be so. That can't be so. Predestination can't be so because my God would not do that. Take one or leave another. No. Oh, this can't be so because my experience says so. Well, I talked in tongues years ago. Don't tell me that's not the evidence. Don't tell me I don't have the Holy Ghost yet. You're gone. You're shot. Because nobody can tell you anything. You're too busy talking to yourself. Making God's mind up for him. Big joke. Is God a man to change his mind? Then you're worshiping man. The two-footed creature, that man's yourself. You're God, if you have a God of your own imagination, your imagination says you're God. Because you're telling God something. This is a vindicated man telling these people what they don't want to hear. What they need to hear. He sure does a good job. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. And Paul emphatically said, you who don't have the Spirit of God are reprobate. And you would have the Spirit of God except you are. So every child of God will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Every designated child of God. We're talking now of wise and foolish virgin, particularly wise. If you have been washed in the blood, there is no way you will not receive the Holy Ghost, providing you have been baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Brother Dale, they waited. I don't care if they waited. They had to wait because the delivery cart with the cookies hadn't come in. And so the little kid said, well, teacher, can I have a cookie? Oh, sure, honey. Soon as the delivery cart comes, you can have it. So the delivery cart came. Now you got all the cookies for the entire week. Well, teacher asked the carry for the cart. No, the cart came, the cookies are here, come and get one. Well, I'm Pentecostal, I got a carry. How do you spell that? Okay. Now watch. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Proving right there that every seed of God will be born again. We're talking about bride, because that's Ephesians. Now watch. And if Christ be in you, that's the Holy Ghost, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. It tells you right there, even though you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, you will not be immortal. You will still die. But watch the next verse. But if the Spirit of Him raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now you're a candidate for the resurrection, and you will make it. What I'm showing you here is what Brother Branham taught when he said here. It took something that was not evil, that could produce a character like Jesus Christ. And it was God looking upon His creation as His own loving character, seeing that lost, yet in His image, and made for His glory, and see that lost. And He brings it all back. And how did He do it? He does it by this one. And I'm describing to you the condition as Paul outlined it and Brother Branham said it in a short-term way. What are we really like, even though we are seed of God? And there's serpent seed out there. And it's all one lump. And everybody's got two ears normally. Then two eyes and a tongue and a nose, a digestive tract, an immune system, arteries, circulatory system, major organs of the body, endocrine glands. And there he is, everyone looking alike. Dissect the black man, the red man, the yellow man. Dissect them. They're all the same. They're all of one blood. Sure, they got little characteristics because of the way they live and all, and where they live. Like the black people have sickle anemia more than white people, but white people can still get it. But the white people got things that black people don't have. But analyze the blood. Same blood. But the point is, there's little things in there. Oh, come on. How are they born? How do they give birth? How do they eat? How do they live? One lump makes one people. Nationality, religion, race, nothing makes any difference. It's one solid lump. And it takes God as the great author, creator, and birther to separate the created from the birth. And believe me, He can do it. He's done it, and He's doing it, and it's soon going to be over. Marvelous, marvelous God. Therefore, brethren, ye are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Now, I'm telling you, look, you got a choice. You're right back to choice. Now, God, by grace, gave you all this wonderful thing. Can't you do some works of faith by God and overcome? For if you live after the Spirit, you shall... For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's the Spirit in the Word. Brother Branham brings that up. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, sonship, child of God, whereby you cry, Father, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, then we may be also glorified together. Now remember, he talks about the bastard child will not suffer. He will not take training. He will not take the Word of God. So when you see people talking in tongues and manifesting gifts and great programs and all, and they do not come to the Word of God, they are bastard children. You put it right down there, they will not suffer for the Word. Because the Word is the identifier. And only for the Word has anybody ever suffered. And will suffer. Say what you want. They didn't kill Jesus because of His good deeds. They killed Him because of His good word. They called Him an illegitimate child. They called Him the devil. Why? Because of the word. I didn't hear any Jew saying, all right, well, they did say He heals by the devil. He makes the blind man see by the devil. And Jesus said, you call the work of the Holy Ghost the devil, then it's all over for you. And when people in Pentecost, they wouldn't call maybe Brother Branham's work of the devil of those great gifts, but they said, you see, he went haywire. And he a real mess and got out of his orbit that God put him in. And he began thinking he's a prophet and so on. He didn't think he was a prophet. He was a prophet. So much for these scaly serpents. Oh, the scaly serpent is a great swimmer. And he can fly through the air with the greatest of ease, branch to branch. Oh, he can scale a tree. Oh, yeah. And remember the woman that died not too long ago that told about Kennedy's death. What was her name? I forget anyway. She said when she had this vision, she looked in the eyes of the serpent, and it was great love and wisdom. Boom, boom, boom. And I said, just what Eve looked into. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not going to tell you some things I know physically that happen in the world, but it's too horrifying, but I could prove it by what I know. It's in print. That's all right. Now, and if children then heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, as though his suffering may be glorified together. The suffering is simply your testing. For I reckon the sufferings at present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Notice, in us. And that's where it starts. Suffering is a healing process down here where you realize, tested by God, you can come through. And believe me, it really, really works. For the earnest expectation of creation waits for the manifestation of sons of God. For creation was not made subject to vanity willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. Notice that God did it. God allowed it. Because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption. That's creation itself. We have a millennium and a new dissolute heaven, of heaven and earth. From the bondage of corruption and the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travaileth in pain till now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Yeah. Baptized with the Holy Ghost and offered back to God an offering which is agreeable to him. Presenting our bodies living sacrifices. The fruit of our lips. All of those things. You see, even ourselves grown within ourselves waiting for the adoption. To with your to redemption of the body. See, there's the thing right there. The body redeemed is the big thing. It's in this body we've got our whole trouble, all of our trouble. It's in this body, aches and pains, diseases come. I am the Lord that healed all your diseases. How many believe him? How many get it? Can't stand the testing. One person said, God will pull you through if you can stand the pull. That's a true story. But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for. No, we're saved by hope, earnest expectation. But earnest expectation that is seen is not earnest expectation. For what a man sees, does he expect it? No. You don't expect what you see. It's what you don't see, you expect and you wait for it. Wait for it. They that wait upon the Lord during tribulation and trial shall renew their strength. Because if you don't exercise, your muscles waste away. If you don't believe it, look at me. You have one time of exercise. Yeah, oh, the nerve. What wonderful veins you have, Mr. Pointing in the blood flow. Well, Mr. Bale, where's that vein? I don't know. Drop dead. See, okay. Now, with that, now let's go to see. Here's man, fallen condition. Here's the scripture concerning it. Predestination, the whole bit. Everything laid out there. Now listen to Paul in the book of Ephesians. I told you we're going to take all morning reading scripture. And I meant it. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Not by anybody else, the will of God. He didn't want to go, but God made him. To the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in the first place is faithful in Christ Jesus. I believe that means the body of the Lord Jesus Christ where you're baptized into the church by the Holy Ghost. But when it says from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the man himself on the mercy seat. Now on the throne. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and blessed all spirits who are blessed in heavenly places in Christ, according he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now that tells you right there the plan of God. That in God's mind, he would have a people just like Jesus Christ, under Jesus Christ, so you got two lords. One Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ, our elder brother, and the other Lord is God himself, who is the Lord of Jesus Christ. Even as the man is the head of the woman, and Christ the head of man, and God the head of Christ. Well, that's not hard to understand, is it? Then just believe it. Talk it. Don't ever talk any way but this way. You can't let your mind go, oh, what's it this time? Oh, what's it this father? What's it this? Oh, shut up. Merciful God. I get letters, I get phone calls, I get everything. And quotes from Brother Branham. I can see confusion. Stop your stupid confusion. Is there one God? Yes. Has he got a son? Yes. Is that son our Lord? Yes. Is God his Lord? Yes. Two Lords. And don't try to figure a lot of things. Well, I'm going to get spiritual by figuring. You're going to get spiritual by listening to the Word of God and walking by day in your school, in your home, in your office, in your business. That's how you're going to get spiritual. No other way. So, honey, put it all down. Well, Brother Dale, I'll pray and fast. Go ahead and watch it ruin your life. Sure, one kid told me back there in California years ago. And he talked about praying, and the blood and the oil came on his hands. Whew, I said, well. Oh, he said, but oh my life changed. I was so sweet. Give me Bible. Trapped by the devil. And his wife said, she was called to God to preach. I said, honey, God doesn't call women. Oh, Brother Hale, I said, Susan, don't my salvation has been my call. I knew she didn't have any salvation. I said, honey, I know what you mean, but you're still wrong. God have pity. I'm not a irascible old mean person. Am I supposed to back down for some little woman? I'm called to God by the daily beach. I'll say what Brother Branham said about Mr. McPherson. Yeah, I know you're called. He knew you were going to preach anyway. All right, having this as an adoption children by Jesus Christ himself. According to the good pleasure, that's what he wants. That's what he said he's going to get. To the praise of his glory, of his grace. Now that's the Jehovah part coming out. That was the Elohim before. This is Jehovah. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself and predestinated us to it, that in the dispensation of fullness of time he might gather together all in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. There's the Lord over the whole thing. When the Son hands everything back to the Father becomes all in all. We'll explain that too. A little later on. Didn't make the fullness of time he might gather together all in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, things are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He said, I don't have a thing to do with this. No, not with that plan. But you have a lot to do with your actual state in how you operate within the plan of God that he set before you and the rewards and the glory that lie ahead of you. But as for the fact that you are down here to suffer and you will be glorified like Jesus Christ, that's in the hands of God. You will get it. You will get there. What kind of shape you're going to get there in? The perfect shape only. Predestinated, but you worked for the others. Let no man take thy crown. Let no man beguile thee of the riches. Let no man deceive you. Don't listen to any voice but the voice of Almighty God. That's where you start. And that's where Eve went haywire. When she got from behind the Word, that was it. Never get from behind the Word. Stay with Jesus. It is written. Oh, but Satan said it's written. Ha ha, it's also written. And Satan, you're misquoting it. Sure. I could turn bread into stones and live, but I've got another source beyond that. Oh, sure, I could be rich and I could be crooked. You better be pure, better be poor and honest. Oh, I could be well revered in the society if I didn't preach. What a Brother Branham, hadn't he preached what he preached, he'd have been taken all around the world. No scientist could have stood before him. Nobody, because they did stand before him and he knocked them prone. He knocked them flat. Even reading their thoughts in their minds. University professor over in Illinois sat there in the front row and he said, Brother Branham is reading people's thoughts. He looked down and he said, well, he said, you do a better job than me. You're the smart one. And that guy, Dr. Naffer, said, it's hypnotism. He turned around and said, Doc, he said, you do better than I would if it's hypnotism. Oh, hallelujah, I love it. Man, I just get so happy to know there's a conqueror in the land. Amen. You know that men's thoughts are scattered to the breeze. And something's going to coagulate. Something's going to come into order. Stronger than diamonds. Stronger than steel. Stronger than titanium. God himself coming in. Far above principles. The principle. One who makes principles. The PAL. Of the PLES is here. I feel good now. I could shout and just run around and have a great time. Cabort with the eagles and the squirrels and anybody. But I am not going to shout over delusions. No, I've had my delusions. My stepper angels were afraid to walk, but I walked anyway, and God was good. My learning can help you to understand what this is all about. In whom we have attained an inheritance in Jesus Christ, being predestinated to it, according to the purpose of the purposer, who's going to work out his purpose. He is going to do it. Remember, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will perform it. Not you will perform it. He will perform it. Because that's his predestinated plan, and you're going to be there. But again, I say, what shape are we going to go in? Oh my, the bride at the end time has the opportunity to be there with bells on, all glorious within and without, shining radiant, outshining the sun far above the stars, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first hoped in him, rested in him, trusted in whom you also hoped or trusted and rested, after you heard the word of truth, and it better be the word of truth, not the word of man, the gospel of your salvation. There is no gospel, there is no salvation, unless it's the truth as revealed by God, who is his own revealer. In whom also after you believe, you receive that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. That's where God wants his bride until this hour when he himself comes, bringing the church back to Ephesus, and the power of God demonstrated in the resurrection of the saints, even as he raised Jesus Christ, changing us and taking us away. That's where we are. That's the plan of God. That's what it's all about. And there is a seed that has it, and the other seed doesn't. Well, back to Romans, the 9th chapter, 1-13. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. I have great heaviness and pain and sore in my heart. I do wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, the kinsmen according to the flesh. They said last night, that's Paul, just like Moses. Who are Israelites, to whom pertains the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom concerning the flesh Jesus Christ came, was over all blessed of all. I'm going to tell you something. This actually applies to the Gentiles if you start thinking about it. What Israel have, we have actually right now. Ours is the adoption, too. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are Israel. They're not all bride or true church to say they're true church. Neither are they the seed of Abraham or all children, but in Isaac tells Isaac to be called. You had to be in God first, and you had to be in Christ to be in line of redemption. Because he had to be one just like you, and you just like him. That's why he took on flesh. We took on as ahead of time to fall. He took on later, perfect man, perfect God, came forth. Now, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise, they are counted for the seed. If it wasn't a promise, it couldn't be seed. Now, let me tell you something. In the beginning, God said to Adam and Eve, right, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth seed. I want to ask you a question. Was the seed that she brought forth the seed of Adam through Eve? No. Seed of the serpent. So all humanity is not the seed of Adam. As the Bible said, Eve was the mother of all, but it doesn't say Adam wasn't. Science has proven that 90.999% are of one father and a minuscule number of another father. So all humanity is not seed and not human. They are true hybrids within their very being, though the whole bunch of us are hybrids in our bodies. Now the trouble comes in. We cannot act by the Spirit of God. We act by instinct, and that instinct being animal, and man being cunning, he can rape and deceive. And woman likewise can be scuzzy, rotten, sneak. A garbage can. Since I've studied the issues of femininity and those things that are today, I find this, I have lost my respect for women 99%. when it comes to their sexuality, because they've always hid behind the so-called fact that they're cold and frigid and they weren't interested. Oh, be my guest and plumb go with the devil. That's the biggest bunch of tripe ever written by anybody. Who fell into sin? Eve was the one. Who's the seducer today? Eve typing the church and the church typing women. I'm just trying to say this. Look, don't look at men and say they're sexual creatures and bypass the woman as though she is simply really not. Bunk, hogwash, and hooey. Who are the little girls, 11 and 12, go down to the gas station to watch the 16-year-old boy pump gas? I'm going to lay it on the line. Woman and man are both rotten, corrupt to the core. Sexual deviants and perverts. They're sold out for a mess of flesh. They vaunt themselves and their bodies down the road and expect men to say, oh, how beautiful and glorious sex symbol, but of course, I'm not really interested, you know. Come on, merciful God, don't give me that stuff. That's from the pit of hell. The children of promise are counted for the seed. And then he goes to Isaac and Rebekah. Same father, same mother. One is loved of God and one is hated. And you tell me that you can't see now by the Bible whether you are identified or whether you are not, because I preached two real tough sermons. And if you can't take it, I just tell you one thing. You ain't. You simply aren't. I'm not. When Brother Branham began preaching, I had a bit of background of most everything he taught. I agree that he corrected all of my ideas, even though my doctrine, subject matter-wise, was correct. And my wonderments hadn't gone quite far enough to inspection, and he steered them. And I'm happy to say I have no problem with what was vindicated to us. And I have my identification as seed along with the prophet. And if I'm deceiving myself, that's no problem. No problem. I concur before you. Say, this is true, what the prophet said. It's of God. And I say, Brother Branham, if we are not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. And by the grace of God, we will not stand in her way. All right? Until the next time, whichever that is, I don't know. I don't know. But you see, we started a series now, which I didn't intend to do. But when you get stuck to preach something, just go to the prophet. When you get stuck and you got a dollar bill, like a 2-bit mine, and there's a grocery store with some bread that was delivered, like this bread, a week ago, so to speak, you go and buy the loaf for 25 cents, and that's it. Well, I just take my 2-bit brain, and I look at something Brother Branham said, say, I'll take this. That's interesting, because that's the choice for me, and we go ahead. So there we are, preaching the church. All right, let's rise and be dismissed. Again, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, which we know is unfathomable, but not unrealistic as to it being approachable and receivable. And Lord, we have received to our account and put in our deposit these banks, these human banks, your grace, your mercy, all through your Spirit. And we know and have identified ourselves through the Word of the Living God that we concur heartily that this is indeed the truth. It is not the work of man. It is not the imagination of man. It is not something that man has reasoned, Lord, but we know that this is thus saith the Lord that you have taught us. And by your grace, Father, I believe that I have taught this morning what the prophet taught. I do not believe I've taken it too far one way or the other, but been exactly on target. And I know, Lord, if I've been any way but the right way, you will correct me, because all your children, and I believe I'm one of them, and these people here are also your children, will be taught by you and the Word will correct any error if we have any error whatsoever. Unto Thee we give glory and honor. And again, taking this message, Lord, believing what the prophet said, knowing Your presence and knowing the virgin birth, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, coming from the source of creation, the life of God Himself, atoning for us, bringing forth healing. We are taking this message for our healing. We believe it, O God, and know therefore our strength comes from You. And whatsoever lies in the future is of You, Lord. And may we have an understanding today, an open mind and open spiritual eyes and ears to garner what is for us and walk in that light. Daily feeding the inner man within us, feeding the Christ in us, Brother Branham said, bringing forth vessels to Your honor and glory in that day when we shall be glorified with Christ. What a day that'll be, Lord. We simply don't understand it as words to us. But one day, Lord, the word spoken must come into full manifestation, realization, and we're looking forward to it. Now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen and amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.